Thank you, Mr. Fiok. Good morning to all of you. Looks like we're shy of a few people today, but we have most of our seats filled. It's good to see you all. It's been 3 weeks, I think, since I was here last. 2 weeks ago was Columbus. Last week we went to, Martha and I and Mark and Amanda went to Michigan to spend the weekend with the future in-laws. And had a good time, had some snow, had a whiteout on the way up. We had to drive about 20 miles an hour and got to enjoy that. And the way home, we didn't have any snow to deal with until we got home. And then the next morning, we got the storm of the year. They were advertising it as a storm total of 48 inches. And I thought, how things have changed, you know. That's a storm, 48 inches. Have you ever noticed how the weather people try to dramatize the weather? I think there's a reason to do that. It, you know, sells, gets people to watch. Anyways, that's not my sermon yet. We all have our memories from childhood. We have our stories. I grew up, I think practically all of you know where I grew up. Little village of New Bedford. Never moved more than half a mile. You know, I've really wandered around the world. Not by moving, but in other ways, I guess I have. But anyways, I grew up in a community where you had multiple religions. But pretty much everybody spoke the same language, which was the dialect we still speak at home, including the non-Amish people. And there was this one couple who kind of became my grandparents. They were about my grandparents' age, just a little bit younger. And they were my non-Amish grandparents. In fact, she used to work for my dad as a secretary. And we got pretty close. And I used to call her. It doesn't have the same ring to it in English as it does in our dialect. I called her the old woman. Now, in English, that's not really that honorable, but she liked it. So you may find that a little bit funny, but kind of tells you our relationship. Anyways, one thing, as I was getting ready for this sermon head, I remember one thing that she told me once. She was Lutheran, and she told me that a good Lutheran always wears a cross. A good Lutheran always wears a cross. A good Christian always wears a cross. And that's kind of the thought in our society today, but is that true? Does wearing something make us a better Christian? Is that the way God looks at us spiritually? We know that the Bible says God looks at the heart. But we live in a world of spiritual deception. Many sincere people, like this lady, who one day will be resurrected, are deceived. But God has called us out of that deception into His marvelous light. We have been given much. And here is what is kind of sobering. Those who are given much, much is required of as well. So today I'd like to talk about why we should not wear a cross as Christians. If you look into history, you find that the cross symbol predates Christianity, which so many other things do too that are a part of nominal Christianity. The author Ralph Woodrow, who wrote Babylonian Mystery Religion, has this to say. Centuries before the Christian era, the cross was honored as a religious symbol by the people of Babylon. It is seen on their oldest monuments. Historians say that it was a symbol associated with Tammuz. Now, I think all of us are familiar with Tammuz. It has to do with paganism. So the cross symbol was used in pagan worship. From Babylon, the cross spread to other nations and was associated with paganism long before Jesus' crucifixion in AD 31. Woodrow further explains, it was not until Christianity began to be paganized that the cross came to be thought of as a Christian symbol. And that happened about 400 years after Christ. While most people today connect the cross with Christianity rather than paganism, we must also ask if the cross is something to be worshipped or honored. While the apostles preached the cross, and that's a stumbling block for a lot of people, the cross, which is the Greek word steros, is part of the history of Christ's ministry. You know, they talk about bear the cross, etc. It was not something they idolized. It was not something they worshipped with. The cross was a shameful instrument at that time. A shameful instrument of death. If you were crucified on a cross, that was a shameful thing. Jesus took on himself our shameful sins on the cross. And having our sins forgiven is a wonderful blessing. We should not glorify the instrument used. Christ, the person, is where our focus needs to be. Let's go to Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments chapter, and we'll start reading verse 3. Exodus 20, verse 3. It says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Later we'll talk a little bit more about how God wants us to worship. But he is a jealous God. And human beings like to take physical things and it's something they can see, they can touch, they can feel. But God is something that is invisible. And he does not want us to substitute worshiping him with something physical. He is a jealous God. Wearing a cross or any object, for that matter, does not make us a better person. You know, anything else physical that we might put on or use as an object to make us look better, you know, the Pharisees had that problem too, can become an idol. It becomes an idol very quickly if we think of it as a religious, that it has a religious value. During his New Testament ministry, Jesus taught his followers to display their spirituality through their actions and deeds. You know, God said he looks at the heart. Matthew 5, verse 16. Matthew 5, verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify not you, but your Father in heaven." What we do is what we want to be known for. Whether it's good or bad, we will be known for that, more so than what we wear. If we truly practice the Christianity of the Bible, we will stand out as beacons of light in a spiritually darkened society because of the way they live. Not because of what we wear. The way we live, I should say. Not because of what we wear. God wants us to direct our worship and prayers to him, not to any physical object. Now let's go over to John 4. John 4 and in verse 19. This is the account of the Samaritan woman that Jesus encountered at Jacob's well. And verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and you choose, say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know." Now, before I go any further, the Samaritans were steeped in paganism. And they were misplaced or brought back after the Israel had been taken out of that region. And I'll quote a little bit from our commentary, church commentary, a little bit later about that. But the setting is, this woman had a background of paganism. The hour is coming, and now is, verse 23, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. And then he makes this statement, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God seeks such to worship Him. We are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And now the commentary says, over time they conformed, referring to the Samaritans, many of their teachings and practices to the Jews who had returned from Babylon, having received from them the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and they began to copy it and passing it down themselves. So they had like a form of true worship there. Yet while the Samaritans embraced much of the truth, their religion was still terribly corrupted with the former paganism. And then you go on to say how that has a connection between, you know, the counterfeit Christianity we see today, mixing true worship of God and the knowledge of Christ, and, you know, the cross therefore became a part of that about 1500 years ago already. And many people today think that so very much identify as a Christian. And of course, we and I always cringe when that happens. So, also, for lack of time, I might refer you to the book, Babylon Mystery of Religion. Chapters 6 and 7 talk a lot about the cross. Wearing the cross does not make us a better person. Following the biblical instruction, we do not use the figure or image of a cross in our worship services. Neither do we wear crosses or symbols of devotion. We refer to the cross in the way that the Scripture refers to it. That is, as a figure of speech to explain Christ's atoning death for us. Our focus needs to be on what Christ did for us, not the instrument that He suffered on. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.